Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cow Weekly. I am the internet's Mike Cow. I shall present to you right now the internet's Alice Wolf. How are you doing?
Hello, hello. Let's see if this goes a bit better than last week.
Bloody hell. It was a challenge, wasn't it?
It was. I'm so sorry to you and everybody who had to watch.
I thought it was a good show, apart from like the persistent crashing of internet and then you nearly spewing up at the end.
Yeah, yeah. That was like the most sudden. I don't know. Well, I'm assuming it was migraine. We don't really know at the minute, but I've never had it come on as quickly as that before, because I was absolutely fine at the start of the show. And yeah, start from about 20 minutes in, just started feeling grimmer and grimmer and grimmer.
Christ.
And pretty much like turned, like logged off and left you on the show, and then like was just like lying on the floor wondering if I was going to stay conscious or not.
Really?
Yeah, it was really good.
You didn't tell us that bit, like, geez.
Yeah, like, it was like, I didn't know if I was going to have a fit or whatever. It was horrendous. Like,
that's grim.
Yeah.
I mean, I could sort of tell something was up, and then like I got a private chat message in the thing. I was like, hold on a minute, that's a first. What's going on? And then I opened it and I went, you all right?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, me. So how are you, all right now? Or do you feel that you're...
I'm getting there. I still really don't know what's wrong. So I've been backwards and forwards to the doctors and going about next week. Hopefully we can try and put our finger on it.
I hope so, mate.
What is going on. I managed to get, like, it was like my first face-to-face appointment that I've had in like years, like for a lot of people. So like I went in and I knew, like, because they haven't seen me for a while, it's like they always like to get you up on the table, have a look at you and things. I thought, I'm just going to make this go as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So rather than fuck around with shoes, I went in my Crocs. She took one look at them and
go fuck yourself. You deserve to die if you were going in with...
She took one look at them and asked if I was depressed again.
And that's why we love the NHS. Oh.
Cracking it. Yeah.
Tell you what, I'll tell the people what we're doing this week. Hello, everybody. How are you? Nice to see you. So I see the comments are coming in. Let me know you're here in the comments. Also, let me know where you're from as well. Like this is like Metro FM in the late 80s, early 90s. Let me know where you're calling in from. Hello, I'm Albert from Benwell. I want to tell you about me allotment, me pigeons. That's very niche for the Northeast gang, and you don't have a fucking clue. But like, shouts to the Flash and Blade. just sticking a bit in. So anyway, what are we doing? Right, is Lee Anderson a racist? We'll be doing that at the end of the show. We'll be doing Mad Poppy Crack at the start of the show. And in the middle of the show, you've got something about, which I didn't know about, and this is why I love doing this with you, about like attacks on shop workers, which I had zero clue about, but I'm pleased you're keeping abreast of what's going on in the retail sector, because I didn't know. So that'll be canny. Shall we see who's in the comments?
Yeah.
Who's arrived? Who's here? Jacqueline Hemmings is in. Hello. Joanne's in. Hello, mate. Ali Keefe, Glasgow crew in the hoose is in. Bob Grady saying, how are you doing now, Alice? We'll put it up on the screen. Even though the name says Robert, I go by the nickname of Bob. Only get called Robert. Right, cool. Bob Grady. How are you doing now? We've done that, haven't we? We've done that one. Cool. Leanne's in as well. She's in the Black Country, Smethwick, up Wolves, if indeed you do, or Wolves or West Brom. I don't know. Right. Same as usual, if you would like to support our work, patreon.com/cowdaily, patreon.com/cowdaily. If you want to make a one-up contribution to our work, PayPal link in the description. Also, please watch this on YouTube. That's youtube.com/cowdaily, and it helps us to monetize the channel. Happy to say we'll pass through the halfway point yesterday or the day before. Of 2,000 watch hours, just the 2,000 to go, but it seems to be going up quicker now. So thanks to everybody for subscribing and watching there. Shall we look at some Mad Poppy Crack?
Go on then. Yeah.
I've got some bangers, like.
Please.
Bangers. But we'll start as we move on. Me respecting the fallen. Check out how respectful the Cookie Monster is. The Cookie Monster with Chris Tarrant for the audio.
I was going to say, is that Chris Tarrant?
Tarrant, aye. Well, what we've got is like a compendium of classics from over the years of like full-on respect for the people who were murdered in a war. Like, they've hired a poppy on the Cookie Monster, man.
Jesus Christ.
On the motherfucking Cookie Monster. Me respecting the fallen.
As if it wasn't weird enough that they made the puppet like appear alongside Chris Tarrant. Like it was, they're also making it wear a poppy. Like, yeah.
Who's the biggest toy out of the two, Tarrant or the Cookie Monster? He's a toy. But anyway, that's a starter. But what about Dre? That's at an Asda somewhere in the Midlands this year. For the audio people, what we're seeing is, how do you even describe this for the audio listeners, right? We've got a wheelchair. We've got a man made out of poppies and a berry and some kind of purple poppy horse. Oh, it'll be the purple animal poppy.
It looks like, do you ever watch Happy? Like the guy who like hallucinates the unicorn thing, that series.
I do not know.
Looks a bit like Happy with like alongside some sort of like poppy gimp thing. Like
poppy gimp.
Although I don't know as well, like because like all the little black bit, like because like where the eyes are, like the black bits are the poppies as well, as if it's pupils, but then the rest of it is poppies as well. So it looks like it's covered in hundreds and hundreds of eyes, like a biblically accurate angel, like just covered in eyes.
It's
you're not afraid.
Do you think if they stuck javelins in the side of it, like retired veterans, as we call them, would start getting stabbing pains and that? Is it like some mad big-ass voodoo doll made out of poppies?
Yeah, I really don't know what we're looking at here. Like,
maybe, right? The Raw have made this and they've got loads of javelins, right, that they've just nicked from some sports centre. And that's like a more cost-effective way of waging the struggle. Strike the side. But before we go on, though, I want to like ask you, right? Like somebody was saying, it was like on the Facebook page earlier, and he was saying like this year he feels like it's not as full on, it's not as like sort of everywhere because like a lot of the far right were bolstered by like what he believes to be like Russian bots and whatever, and now that they're all busy with Ukraine, it's not as like full on like online discourse. Is he right or is he wrong in your opinion?
I don't know really. I feel like it's starting to come out in force a bit now, but like I hadn't really seen anything until the last 2 days, but then like it seems to have like just gone from like 0 to 60, and I have seen that chat, you know, when, because it's not about wearing a poppy, is it? Like some people do wear a poppy and that's fine. And I know plenty of people who do, but they manage to not be a complete bell end about it. But it's that whole thing of like, you know, that manufactured outrage of getting really angry with people for other people for not wearing poppies. And I've seen that happening like already with like, you know, kind of various like actors or sports people appearing on television. One of them, I can't remember his name, but he was like an Irish actor.
I don't know who he was, but he's the latest one that got rinsed. Is it Mescal or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'd never heard of him. So no. The poppy fascists have done him proud because it's enhanced his reputation. I have no idea who he is.
Yeah, and it's that kind of, you know, I'm always like astounded by people who don't understand why there might be a lot of Irish people who aren't wearing poppies and just have got no, I don't know if it's willful ignorance or if it's just that, you know, we do live in a country where we completely wash over what, you know, kind of the impact we've actually had in Ireland and what has actually gone down. You know, people have heard of the Troubles, but they, you know, they don't really know anything beyond that, apart from, you know, bombs going off in England and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And like, they've literally got no idea about Irish history. And I'm like reteaching myself like a lot of that as well, because, you know, when you realize that everything that you were taught in school is absolute bollocks. And, you know, the fungal spore that caused the Irish potato famine is the English.
Yeah, for real, man.
We are the fungal spore.
Are we the baddies? We're the baddies, aren't we? Just yeah. On Ireland, like, there's a lad who always gets talked about this time of year, footballer called James McLean. So I've got a couple of bits later on.
And yes, we'll add that in.
Something a bit closer to home, if you're in the northeast, is Sunland. For the audio people, there's a set of doors on what looks like, is it a bar in Sunland?
I'm hoping it's a karaoke bar. That's the only thing. If it's not, then I really don't understand what is happening in this picture, because it's so bad. It's so bad.
Set of doors, got some poppies on the doors, lest we forget, like, all that bad lad shit, and then party in a box, sing along anytime on the doors. So it has to be a karaoke thing. But I feel like that is really respectful. What do you think?
It's respectful. I honestly don't know what to say at this point.
It's mad respectful. And if you don't respect it, then
you not go outside and have a look at it first. And maybe
I want to go to Sunderland and just see it for myself.
And maybe just think, do you maybe think, you know, if you were going to put them up, that maybe the flags would have been a bit better placed somewhere else? Because that
in the drawer.
Yeah.
It would be better placed in the fucking drawer. Anyway, this is an interesting, like, sort of manifestation in the arts and crafts sector. Like, toppers post boxes?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen this madness?
I have seen plenty of these because I crochet, so I'm in a lot of, like, social media crochet groups.
Are you in Stitch and Bitch?
Where people where people do stuff like this, and where I live as well, we had lots of them around the Jubilee mm-hmm. as well. When the Jubilee was happening, there was lots of Jubilee themed ones that were going on. They're just they're quite popular. Hey, I wonder if is the Queen wearing a poppy at the minute? Do you think? Did they put one on her before they went? You know, before they put her in,
she's turned into a poppy. That's like, she's like the end of level poppy boss now, and like, she's consigned to that forever.
Well, she better be wearing one, because you know what happens. You know, the poppy police come and get you, you know, if you're not wearing your poppy. She's got no excuse. You know, dying isn't an excuse.
Got this image of Lee Anderson digging her up and screaming in her face, where's your poppy duck?
Where's your fucking poppy?
Where's your poppy, me duck? Death's not an excuse. Anyway, right, this other thing of poppy fascism, right, these are a selection of tweets here. Would somebody tell hashtag Test Daily that the leaf of the remembrance poppy should be facing up, not down, actually in the 11 o'clock position, signifying the 11th hour? Thank you. Hashtag strictly. That was enough. November the 5th this year. Another Andy Bullock, shocked at how many people don't know how to wear a poppy. Hashtag poppy. Hashtag Remembrance Day. Hashtag strictly. Royal British Legion. We often hear people debating the correct way to wear a poppy, but the truth is, unless you're currently serving, there is no correct way. So I brought this up because it's one of those manifestations of, like, sort of the of poppycock. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Fucking utter poppycock. But you've got these fuckers on and offline, like, it's the where's your fucking poppy crew, in it, but it's just that more tempered sort of, excuse me, would you awfully mind putting at 11 o'clock, because it's not the maximum amount of respect for our fallen. It's ham on rather than gammon.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what it is. I've seen it before with Union Jacks as well. Although I really couldn't give a pixie's chuff on what way somebody hangs a Union Jack. It is always funny when you do get some, like, ardent racists going on about the flag and that, and they don't know which way round it goes either, and always inevitably end up putting it the wrong way round. And I can kind of see the humour in that, but yeah. Same with the American flag as well. There's loads of rules about their flag, which include about not wearing, not having it on the floor, not having it as part of clothing and stuff and things like that. And yet you see people walking around in like stars and stripes suits and like beach towels and stuff and things like that. And yeah,
it's motherfuckers.
It's manufactured outrage, and we have it every single year with the poppy.
Another one here, even closer to home, Yabby Creek of Northumberland itself. That's Hexham. Nice little touch at Hexham races today, and they've stuck a poppy on a horse's tail right next to its arse for maximum respect.
Looking at for a second there, fucking hell. Like,
I'd just like to point out as well, this poppy on the horse's arse, it's not at 11 o'clock. It's actually more like sort of, what would you say, 10 o'clock? That's not 11 o'clock there.
No, definitely not.
Double disrespect.
And the minute it decides it wants to have a shit, it's going to change time again, because it's going to, they lift their whole fucking tail up to do that.
And people are having a go. Just Stop Oil for dousing the statue of Captain Tom and shit. Like, these motherfuckers are out here sticking poppies on a horse's arse.
Mm-hmm.
Now who's the disrespecter? Right, where's this bus going? There's a bus for audio people here, like a little mini bus. And it's got like a poppy in the digital display with Lest We Forget across something, 1940, it's the war in present day. However, where is the bus going? Is it going to the Somme? Like, where is it? Is it?
Well, it tells you it's going to the present day. It says quite clearly. It's going from 1914 to the present day. Christ, you wouldn't get on that bus, would you? Jesus.
Fucking hell, stick Lee Anderson on it if it's going to the present day, and have Jacob Rees-Mogg drive it. Fucking hell, geez. What else we got in the poppies? Right, this is ridiculous. Somebody took it on the sly, right? And you know, talk radio and talk TV.
Mm-hmm.
This is like before you go out into the camera zone, there's a sign with, are you wearing a poppy? So speak to us, man. Like, this performative shit that we're talking about, right? Doesn't that just add grist to the mill of the evidence base for that? Are you wearing a poppy, like, before you go out? Like, surely if you're respecting the fallen, it should be like foremost in your mind that, like, my poppy's here. I'm ready. I'm ready to face the fascists that listen to talk radio and talk TV, and I'm ready to tell them why immigrants are the worst thing ever, because them are the freedoms that I died for, and that. Them's the freedoms. The freedom to be a fascist.
Fucking, like, what's, are you wearing a poppy? What happens if you're not? Do they not let you on? I don't really understand what the protocol is there. Or
Darren Grimes comes running over from GB News, rugby tackles them, starts fucking giving it some of this, and then slams a poppy into their face, then gets chinned. But he's really doing it as an audition, because he's been sacked from GB News, so he's trying to get on the only other potential platform for his hatred.
Oh, poor Darren.
Poor Daz.
Do you think he's in a union? Should have joined a union, Darren.
Well, to be honest, I think there's more chance of Ayn Rand claiming Medicaid at the end of her life after being a lifelong libertarian ghoul. That'll never happen. Or that actually happened. Anyway, moving swiftly on. This is another part of this these aspects around virtue signaling. It's usually these type of people who are projecting and pointing the finger on the virtue signaling. So this is Paul Bristow, MP, on Twitter. Let's stop the takeover of our council by a coalition of Marxists, cranks and virtue signalers. Our city is too important to let that happen. I don't know if he speaks like that, but he does now.
What the fuck is he talking about? I don't even understand. What is there any context to this?
Let me tell you. My point here is, right, he's gone on about virtue signaling. Here he is here, Paul Bristow, MP. Let me read this tweet. And block capitals. Lamppost poppies. I have 200 of these bad boys. Bad boys.
Bad boys.
Respect maximum. I got 27 of these Captain Tom bongs like a bad boy baseline. Right, anyway, he says, I have 200 of these bad boys to put up across my city. Where should I put them? If you're a neighbor, would you email me at paul@paulbristow.org.uk? We will get them up and raise money for the Poppy Legion. Here he is here. They will be going up across Peterborough in the next few days. For audio people, here he is, proud as punch, holding a lamppost where he's affixed one, probably with cable ties. What do you make of this, fool?
How is that? You know, because they're always going on about helping veterans and stuff and things like that. How is that helping people who've served in the forces, who might have some PTSD and stuff like
that?
It's not,
is it?
No.
Here's one for you. The British Legion, Help for Heroes and all of that should be abolished.
Oh, absolutely.
Abolished.
Totally agree. Totally.
Somebody's going to clip that, aren't they? I haven't even qualified it. Should be abolished because it should come out of our tax money, and all of the people who've went and served should be looked after with world-class healthcare. Mm. Same as everybody else in the country, mental and physical, nobody left behind. None of this like hierarchy of who should get what and fucking this, that, and the third. All humans should have access to world-class healthcare in 2022. There you go, job done. Disband the British Legion. Disband Help for Heroes. You're not required, because our tax money should be paying for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And things like, you know, in terms of not the work that Help for Heroes are doing, but some of the, like, a contingent of the people who support them with their wristbands and stuff like that, it's the fetishization of the injured soldier and the traumatized soldier as well. And it's not fucking helpful as well. I mean, I've seen people who've served taking the piss out of the whole Poppy Watch thing, like on several occasions, because it's just like, it's just pure pantomime. It's pure pantomime. And it is exactly as you just said before, the ultimate definition of virtue signaling.
The ultimate. Yeah, they're the ones pointing the fingers, like giving it far right talking points, like cultural Marxism and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the effing fucking right up, you flippers.
Yeah. And we saw exactly the same thing during the pandemic with key workers, which we'll talk again a little bit about later on in the next piece. But it's the same fucking energy that the
same energy, mate.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the candles are barely out on the fucking Halloween. It should be turnips, but there are pumpkins. We are America now. But holidays are coming. Holidays are coming. Tis the season for respecting the fallen.
Also, the Coca-Cola putting heroin in the soda now instead of the cocaine.
Somebody's done up, for audio people, somebody's done up a truck, right? Full on Arctic with your classic Poppy and army type dudes on the site. And then, lest we forget, is in the Coca-Cola writing. And somebody called Susan Cool on Twitter has captioned, never mind the Coca-Cola truck, let's send this truck around the country. Why? Like, to what end, Susan? Why are we sending it around the country?
Yeah.
Why are they sending a fucking Coca-Cola truck around the country at Christmas as well? I didn't know about that, but...
No, it doesn't make sense. And I think as well, we've got to, going back to that that fetishization of soldiers in the military as well, is that there's a lot of places now selling poppies which are nothing to do with the British Legion, and actually they're profiting off that as well. Britain First was one of them. They had their own version of like a poppy brooch where they were just raking in the profits. Not one penny of that went to anybody who's ever served in the forces before. It was just Paul Golden cosplaying in his little soldier's uniform, which was hilarious. I'm like,
absolutely daffy, wasn't he?
Yeah,
we'll pull up a couple more. Hold on, we'll see what we've got. Oh, this is a fucking belter, this, right? All right, we'll get him up. Right, so this guy here, right, Niall Gardner, used to be one of Thatcher's advisors, and he's a complete far-right dickhead.
Right.
He's like striking how many of the sad lefties on Twitter attacking the wearing of poppies are also ardent supporters of the EU or shameless backers of the IRA. Poppy Watchers replied to him. It's the picture of him next to Boris Johnson with no poppy on. Did your poppy fall off? Body bagged. This is who he is. Yeah, he likes a flag. Niall Gardner, at Niall Gardner on Twitter. Foreign policy analyst, former aide to Margaret Thatcher. Aye, knee poppy though, pal. Virtue signaller.
I love that. Views expressed are my own. No, they're not. They're fucking Enoch Powell's.
Fucking Eunuch Powell, more like. Anyway, at Niall Gardner, he said, a disgrace. James McLean again refuses to wear Remembrance Day poppy on his West Brom shirt. Well, thanks for the tee up and the seamless link, Niall, for being a 24/7 ghoul. So anyway, this is from, and I took this article from when James McLean played for Wigan the first time around, which was, I think this is 2004. Right. Belfast Telegraph, Wigan player James McLean explains why he will not wear a poppy. This is how long it's been going on, by the way, right? So what he says is, in it he said he has complete respect for those who fought and died in both world wars. He said, but the poppy is used to remember victims of other conflicts since 1945, and this is where the problem starts for me, says McLean. For people from the north of Ireland, such as myself, and specifically those in Derry, scene of the 1972 Bloody Sunday massacre, the poppy has come to mean something very different. Please understand, Mr. Whelan, that when you come from Creggan, like myself, or the Bogside, Brandywell, or the majority of places in Derry, every person still lives in the shadow of one of the darkest days in history, even if, like me, you were born nearly 20 years after the event. It goes on. It is just a part of who we are, ingrained into us from birth. For me to wear a poppy would be as much a gesture of disrespect for the innocent people who lost their lives in the Troubles, and Bloody Sunday especially, as I have in the past been accused of disrespecting the victims of World War I and World War II. It would be seen as an act of disrespect to those people, to my people. He also said he was not a warmonger or anti-British or terrorist or any of the accusations levelled at him in the past. So what are your thoughts on that as somebody who doesn't watch football, doesn't really know who he is?
I thought it was really articulate and really concise. And I think that's exactly, you've got to understand that that is, you know, although he was, you know, he's saying he was born sort of 20 years after the event, it is very, very much in living memory.
Exactly.
For people in Ireland, you know, people remember growing up with soldiers on the streets and stuff and running and all of the stuff that went with that and the, you know, the violence and all of it. So you can't, you know, turn around and say that you would wear one in those circumstances. They absolutely wouldn't at all. Like, there's no chance that they would wear one. So I think you've got to understand why people don't. You know, in much the same way as we understand that some people do wear one, not because they're, you know, a complete right-wing arsehole. It's, you know, because they've got, you know, they've had somebody, you know, they've loved who served or something, you know, or, you know,
it's completely respect that, man. Like, if that's, you know, what people want to do, there's different people. My parents wear them. You know what I mean? That's entirely their call. I respect that. I understand why they do it. But what we're not talking about those people. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about are poppy fascists who can get in the fucking sea.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So, like, on this section, we'll have the last word for your man, Harry Patch. For those who don't know, Harry Patch was the last surviving Tommy who fought in the First World War. A quote here, the best memorial for the likes of me would be to look after the soldiers who are still fighting for their country now, and equally importantly, their families. Fully agree. He also said, war is organized murder and nothing else. Harry Patch, last surviving soldier of World War One. I think that's a good place to end that particular one. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Big up Harry Patch, RIP him, and everybody who died fighting in those wars. Simple as that. It was organized murder. Apparently, you're not allowed to be anti-war anymore because that's not allowed. You like do Putin's talking points for him or something. But fuck war everywhere at all times. There's other ways we can fucking settle our differences other than blowing the shit out of each other. So rich people get richer by selling arms, because that ultimately is what a lot of this boils down to.
Yeah.
It's anti-human. But anyway, let's take some comments. It's quite a lot, so we'll try and get as many as we can. Leanne is saying, if StreamYard would stop being a dick. I remember the fallout from when he played for my team, West Brom. Firstly, apologies for calling you a Wolves fan earlier. I took a 50% chance and I got it wrong. Up the baggies. My favourite away day was when we got Gates got beat 7-0 by West Brom. And we sang Superheat Army for 45 minutes, like non-stop in the second half as the goals rained in. Really great day out. Jacqueline Evans, he shouldn't have to explain himself. No one should. Wearing a poppy should be a matter of choice. Indeed.
One more,
B62 Boom One is saying, wearing a poppy is a mark of respect for the people who died during conflict while the government abandoned them. When they're injured beyond military usefulness is like clapping for nurses. True bloody story, my friend. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Next, we shall go to Shop Attacks. I'll play the video. Hello, everybody. If you're just joining this particular clip, this is Shop Attacks with Alice Wolfe. Here's a video.
As the cost of living rises, we found a worrying increase in abuse of shop workers by customers. Retail staff have become a convenient but totally unfair target. This worker was physically attacked. Fearing reprisals, he spoke to me anonymously.
I was pretty shook up. I didn't feel good at all. I was away from work for a good number of weeks. No one deserves to be attacked while they're trying to work, trying to earn some money. I know it could happen to anyone, but it shouldn't happen to anyone.
This employer has CCTV and security, but not all retailers offer such protection. Despite new laws this year that brought in tougher sentences for people found guilty of attacking shop workers, we have new evidence that this kind of abuse is on the rise. Figures given exclusively to ITV News show 90% of retail workers say they've been subjected to abuse from customers, with more than two-thirds reporting this has got worse in the last 2 years. In a survey of more than 2,000 shoppers, 62% said they felt frustrated by rising prices, and of these, 71% admitted to raising their voice or losing their temper with staff. This expert has research showing almost a third of customer service staff say abuse from customers has become more aggressive in the last 6 months.
Increasingly worrying, over 40% of those people that we interviewed in our latest study are suggesting that they are considering whether they continue to work in customer-facing roles.
In Coventry, this retailer is now seeing abuse on a daily basis.
We're governed by the prices that are coming in, right? But it's no need to take that anger out at the people that are working in the store because it's beyond their control as well.
Retail staff are there to help, yet too many are getting the flak. Many customers may feel angry about rising costs, but shop workers should not be paying the price.
We're back.
We're back.
That's you and your shonky videos you sent us. You shonk machine. Not snipping the end of it off. It was my fault, actually. I should have tested it, but I did tell you about the absolute hell mare that I'd had.
I thought I had chopped that off, but clearly not.
Oh, they all crashed and I had to redo everything like it within the space of 35 minutes before it came on. It was a challenge. But, you know, anyway, moving swiftly on. Tell us about the shop attack.
Well, this was something that was, it was on the BBC. Mm-hmm. What we've just watched, that was from ITV a couple of weeks ago, but there was an article about it on the BBC news site today. But it was really, really short and it was really, really vague. But the video we've just seen there gave a little, a few more statistics about the kind of things that we're seeing, like 90% of shop workers have, experienced abuse, but 70% of them say it's got significantly worse in the last 2 years. And I guess this is something I really wanted to kind of cover for a while, both in the retail and the hospitality industries, mm-hmm. because we are seeing, you know, definitely in the UK, but across Europe and definitely in the States as well. People leaving in their droves because it's, you know, it was bad enough before. And I've, you know, when I first started working, it was all work because I worked in a, I lived in an area where pretty much the only job you could get was in hospitality. That's what I did for like the first like 7 years of my working life. And I would never, like, people say what I do now, people say, oh, you know, your job's so hard, like I couldn't do that. And it's like, no, I couldn't do that again. Like, now I do get people who are sometimes aggressive with me, but it's usually because, you know, they're upset or, you know, things. And you can talk to them and you can be real with them and you can, you know, you can sit with them with that. And when you're in retail or when you're in hospitality, it's that, you know, we still have that customer is always right mentality. Yeah. Where people just have to sit there and take it and pacify them, and that is what I cannot do. And it was bad enough when I was working in that, and like sort of from the mid 90s till like early 2000s, it was bad then, and I just can't imagine what it must be like now. Two really good friends of mine, I used to share a flat with them years ago during the pandemic. One of them is a nurse, and the other one works in a like a really, really huge supermarket in the Northeast. And the stories that they were giving me, you know, it was, you know, again, they were always like, oh, your job, I couldn't do your job. And then when the pandemic hit, I was like, I really don't know how either of you are getting through this day. Like how yous are getting up for work, especially the one who worked in a supermarket. Some of the tales he told of how people were behaving were absolutely wild, you know. During the days where we were having to queue up for our food, it was like, you know, before the shop had opened, the queues forming outside and people, like literally customers trying to rip open the automatic doors before the store had even opened, and them trying to restock shelves and, you know, walking through the aisles with like large trolleys full of produce and those trolleys being empty by the time they got them to the shelves because people were just walking up, especially if it was something like toilet roll, just like walking up and like ripping them off, people getting screamed in their faces and just all kinds of stuff like that. And so we knew that those things were happening during the pandemic. Some of it was reported on. This is again when people every Thursday or whenever it was like clapping outside, where, you know, some of those people are also going to have been abusing staff when they were going to the supermarket. It's just pathetic. But again, I've got a lot of friends who live in Cumbria and who rely on the hospitality industry, and just saying as soon as everything opened up again, the bars, just saying people were vile. And again, it's like I find it really shocking. And that it's still, we're still seeing a rise of it, but people are saying as well that the cost of living crisis is contributing to this as well. And that's, I think that's what I didn't realise until I was reading the article today, which is why I thought we should cover it, really, because it's something that's always been close to my heart, because I know what it's like to work in that field, and it's fucking grim. It really is.
Especially when you've got dickheads taking the fucking pain out on you. And the trauma, like, this is what I've been on about recently, about, like, I'll bring the article in a minute, but about like the rebound effect from lockdowns and the pandemic in general and the mental strain. I'm seeing quite a lot of people just completely not acknowledging it because they've went into an overlapping crisis after overlapping crises, and the pandemic's not over. So it's all a lot of mental weight. And are people just like sharpening their elbows to the maximum now when they're just like, get out of my way, I'm getting me food, you're a fucking cunt, and kicking off? Is that what's really going on here?
I think when I was at, because I read quite a few different articles about it today. I mean, and certainly when I've been in the supermarkets, it's not been so much that they've been so full and people are like jostling over things from what I've seen. But I do think there's... if we're going to relate it to the cost of living crisis, I do think maybe there's been rises in things like shoplifting. And when, you know, people, staff who are expected to kind of confront people who are shoplifting, and people getting aggressive, and so them being, you know, them being hurt, you know, that way. And just generally people being really obnoxious, you know, when they are, when things aren't. I've seen because this is what I don't get, and I understand. I found supermarkets really, really stressful during the pandemic. I'm kind of feeling all right about them now, but I know what it was like to be in a supermarket and feeling really stressed.
Yeah, definitely, we all did, man.
And it was never with staff. It was normally if people were kind of really kind of getting in my face and stuff and things like that. It was just people just not kind of respecting distances. But even then, I never kicked off with anybody. It would just be like I would have a little grumble about it later, and no matter how things have been, I have never ever like kicked off with a member of staff in a supermarket.
Kicked off with anybody, but I have a couple of times said, look, would you mind just giving us some space? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's perfectly reasonable, and it's something I would do if it was going on, pandemic or not. Yeah. And if somebody's like writing me personal space, I'm just like, just get yourself away, pal. Like, what's going on?
I just
feel like they're going to pickpocket us or something's going to happen. And like, I'm then going to go to DEFCON 5 if I'm touched.
I think the closest I've ever got was telling a self checkout machine to fuck off once. Which I think
just beeping at you. It's like Morse code for go fuck yourself off. Anyway, well, do you want some material?
Yeah.
Shall I read this or do you want to read this? What do you want to do? Can you read it all right?
Yeah, so this is the one from this morning. In shop workers abuse, I've had things thrown at me. And this is got a picture of a woman with a caption and they say Jane has been sworn at and threatened in her job at the supermarket checkout, which is just really, really standard. I think as well, this is from a different article as well, but I think it was kind of all came up as part of the same thing. So we've got Scottish Green MSP Maggie Chapman is working with Unite Hospitality and other stakeholders to prepare a members bill applicable to all new liquor licences. Unite's campaign that was motivated by an incident in 2021 when a Unite activist was sexually assaulted on her way home from work after midnight. Mr. Chapman said, intimidation, abuse and assault are all far too common in the hospitality industry, particularly when low wages and poor conditions are so prevalent in the industry. Many are forced to spend their shifts wondering how they will get home at the end of it.
Wow. As well.
And I think if you've worked in bars and stuff and things like that, that's you know, really, really a common thing because you do. Certainly, I remember being 17 and being groped by a customer and telling my boss about it. But because my boss played golf with him at the local golf club, I was just expected to take it. So it was just like a 40-year-old guy, like basically groped the arse of a 17-year-old girl while she's trying to do the fucking silver service. And yeah, it's all you just meant to kind of
fairway fiddler. Bad crack, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing. It's all like, oh, just brushed under the carpet, and it's all like, ha, 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 ha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that the energy, like, that kind of...
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen it loads of times. Obviously, as a bloke, I walk amongst these people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and this is in the late 90s, and thing, you know, if you speak to people now who was, you know, and I do speak to people now who were working in bars and stuff like that, a lot hasn't changed. That is still going on, you know?
Absolutely mental.
They're still behaving in this way. Yeah, for sure.
Indeed. Anyway, let's.
Yes. So this is an older article, and it's deliberately older, because this is obviously something people have been talking about for a long time. It's not anything new, but it is something because of certain, you know, kind of factors we're experiencing is getting worse. So people have been trying to do something about this for a really, really long time. So this is prior to the publication of the Usdaw survey results, a petition was launched to protect shop workers, which was debated in Parliament in September 2020 with a crushing response. The government is not persuaded that a specific offence is needed, as a wide range of offences already exist which cover assaults against any worker, including shop workers. So this is when they wanted that to be a specific offence and to raise penalties. Then we have more recently.
Yes.
They've changed their tune. From today, as part of the police Crime Sentencing and Courts Act, common assault against anyone working in a retail environment will be classed as an aggravated offence, which carries tougher penalties.
What was that about then? What was the change?
Well, we've talked about the Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Act on here before, and basically how grim it is and how dodgy it is. And one of the questions we always ask is, you know, how do these things even get through when they are such like massive attacks on human rights? And like a bill is a massive thing. It's not just one tiny piece of legislation. It incorporates loads and loads of things. And the way they get away with it is by piggybacking other things that they know the general public are going to really support on there, such as, you know, let's get tougher sentences on people who attack shop workers. Let's get tougher sentences on people who attack paramedics and nurses and stuff when they're at work. And everyone goes, yes, that's great. We really need it. We will give this bill this full support. They were trying to put a few new kind of things to protect victims of domestic violence victims on the back of the Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Bill, despite the fact it, you know, because of the more powers it gives to the police, there is potential to give the green light for more women to be abused by police officers. And it's the tale as old as time. It's just like, yes, let's piggyback all these things on. And then when we talk about it in the news, they're the things we're going to focus on. And everybody will go, oh, yeah, this bill, it's really great. And it's not like sinister as fuck. Or they did exactly the same thing with the Criminal Justice Bill in 1994. That was the same kind of things that they were doing there. That bill wasn't just about raves and stuff and things like that. They put all kinds of stuff in there, which had a lot of public support because on the surface they appear to make common sense. But the point is that actually we have always had these laws to protect. It's just, you know, they've not been used. And really, can you really legislate for that kind of thing? Really, anyway, is it not more a societal thing where we need to start fucking treating each other better, you know, where, you know, people need to be better protected at work by their employers as well, for when these things happen, so that they don't have to just take it with a, you know, with a shrug and a smile and stuff. If somebody is getting aggressive with them, there's something in place to actually help them.
For real.
Yeah. Because just saying, oh, we're going to give tougher sentences, and then not really implementing that because the bill in question was really about something else, isn't going to do anybody any good. You can't legislate common decency.
Well, you can't, can you? I tell you what we could do. Like, I mean, obviously that's that end of it. I wonder what something like a universal basic income would do in terms of the crime figures. A lot less people are going to shoplift, ergo there's going to be a lot less attacks. Also, a lot of this stress is coming from money issues, overlapping crises again. So let's fucking push these things forward, innit? But obviously, Britain now is a fascist hellhole, so I just really don't see where that could come from. It's just going to be more punitive shit and then throwing people in a prison system, which is broken and increasingly more privatized, where people are being banged up 23 hours a day left and bloody right. The mental health problems in jail, I would say, are this like horrible negative feedback loop where people are shut out from the latest sentence, full of rage and mental health issues because during the pandemic, like the lockdowns and the pandemic and everything, they were on bang up for 23 hours a day in most prisons.
Yeah.
A lot of it's down to the fact that like it was an excuse because they don't have enough screws. The private companies are not getting the screws in, or they're getting just young people in on shit wages who are just getting abused by the cons. So it's like prisons are hell holes now, man. No, yeah. I mean, they're always bad, but seriously, the shit I'm hearing.
No, I've heard some horror stories recently.
And then just pour a bucket of spice over the wing.
Yeah, and particularly I've been speaking to people who were, you know, who were doing time during that specific period you've just mentioned, who were locked up for like 23 hours a day. And yeah, it just terrifying, really. And then coming out to a world which looks radically different about, you know, people saying they're coming out and not knowing that you had to queue to get in the supermarket now and not really understanding what was going on and stuff like that. Honestly, hideous, absolutely hideous.
insidious, mate, and respect for you for bringing this up. It's not something I would have thought about, and this is why I like doing it with you. You bring us back down to the earth, and I'm like, shit, that's happening, eh? I mean, again, there's so many different things on a societal level, certainly from a political standpoint, that given there that they're lawmakers, that things could change. But they always seem to go for the punitive stuff, and Labour's going to be no different, worse, in fact. They're trying to out-cunt the Tories, so love to give some hope on this one, but sadly there's none to be had.
Well, no, I mean, I think there's things people, you know, can do, and we, you know, it's about when we talk about unionising, that isn't just about paying your dues to a union and then just forgetting about it, but actually organising your workplaces to make sure that there are protections in place. And I would really encourage anyone to do that. And there's lots of work by a few different unions who are trying to do that specifically in the hospitality industry as well, and retail, because they recognise that they've kind of been left behind a lot. And you know, and often struggle getting access to help from unions as well. But it's about being involved in it yourself as well, rather than just like, here's my money. You know, it's about all kind of clubbing together and looking after each other, and, you know, kind of challenging bosses who, you know, who might be expecting people who are being paid the most appalling wages to challenge shoplifters when they shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't have to be
bad, isn't it? And it's not great.
No.
But I mean, clarity. I meant hope on a political level. I didn't mean hope in general. I mean, fuck's sake, there's so much hope from people. But like the politicians, there's none from them. There's none coming from any aspect of the Labour Party.
Oh God, absolutely not.
Now the Tories be Tory, and we know this. It's why we don't talk about them as much. But like Labour, I mean, there's just so much. But I don't think we've got time for that, because we really do need to be talking about your man Anderson.
Come on, then.
Let's
tell me about Lee Anderson.
Draw hands around the earth. Drawing down protection before we invoke a ghoul. So yes, everybody draw a chalk circle around yourself and sit in it. We're about to bring forth one of hell's greatest demons. That's Lee Anderson, MP for Ashfield in Nottinghamshire. This guy. Look at this guy. So what we're asking is Lee Anderson MP a racist? So let's play this little clip and then we'll come back.
Got Albanian criminals leaving Albania, which is a safe country. The same criminals are then setting up shop in France. They're then leaving France, which is a safe country, and coming to the UK across the channel. And then when they get into accommodation, we've got the opposition parties saying the accommodation is not good enough for them.
Yeah.
Well, does the Home Secretary agree with me? If the accommodation is not good enough for them, they can get on a dinghy and go straight back to France.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Well, my honourable friend's right. The average cost per night is £150 per person per night in a hotel. By my standards, that's quite a nice hotel, I'm afraid. And I think any complaints that the accommodation isn't good enough is frankly absolutely indulgent and ungrateful.
Full crack on. They've got Braveman done up like a poppy again.
They really
seen
have.
That garb, man.
They really
terrible.
Have, yeah. Yep, I've
Anderson.
I've not noticing that since you pointed it out last week, actually.
Seriously, it's all really stage managed, the whole thing. Even Boris Johnson's scruffiness, all of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, what do you think about that? Lee Anderson, send them back, basically, is what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what he was saying. There were several cheers for that going on in what was not even that full a room. So there was definitely, you know, support for it as well. You know, probably not least from Suella Braverman herself as well. But again, it's just repeating. I mean, we said this last week with Suella Braverman, and the things she was saying, it was like it might as well have just been read out from the front of a National Front leaflet from the 70s and 80s. And if you were around then, that was the kind of stuff that it used to say, repeating the same fucking lies all the time.
Same shit. I'm going to introduce a cast of characters to you, and they're Lee Anderson's mates.
Okay.
So Here he is here. This is from somebody called John Fast Wass. I'm introducing the Skegby Scooter Club. There's Anderson, like the devilish ghoul he is in the background behind this guy who is wearing a Proud Boys polo shirt. Oh, well, that's anybody can have them. I've got mates who've had them before, the Proud Boys, yeah, whatever.
For sure.
And so this is from leeanderson.org.uk. This is his blog. I'm not sure if he knows how to upload to it, but he's sure he's got staff. Picture of the Skegby Scooter Club, right? Community rallies round for desperate pensioner. Here's the Skegby Scooter Club there, and there's his pal. Just setting the scene, there's definitely the Skegby Scooter Club on leeanderson.org.uk, isn't it? It's definitely that. So, from Private Eye magazine, racism needs stamping out in all walks of life, declares Tory MP Lee Anderson, who praised a white pride far-right stalwart of one of the top lads who make me proud of his constituency. Full story, the new Private Eye, which I do have, and I'm going to read out for you in a minute.
Oh.
Here he is here. Same guy, wearing a No Remorse white pride t-shirt and the white pride cross in the middle. So we'll just take a little break from this before I reveal more. What are your thoughts about this at the moment, Alice Wolfe?
Yeah, it's the white pride t-shirt, isn't it? It's just, it's
bit
not
of a giveaway,
it's,
really.
It's not even a dog whistle at that point, is it? It's just a scream.
It's a fucking foghorn.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, didn't know this about Lee Anderson. Obviously knew he was just a bit of a wrong. I thought he was right. I thought he was a Labour MP.
Well, he did used to be with the Labour Party. He worked in Gloria Del Piero's office.
Right, right. Okay, so I just thought I was like, is he a Tory? I thought he was Labour. But, the plot
thickens. Actually, on that, we'll come in with this bit, just to give you a bit more of a background about how much of an absolute bell sniff Lee Anderson MP is. When he jumped ship, and he actually stood against Gloria Del Piero in Ashfield, and he won on the Brexit tip. It was it's quite a similar style of like ex-mining community to Laura Pidcock, Northwest Durham, similar kind of situation, very sort of like Brexit focused and whatnot, right?
Okay.
This was something that Lee Anderson did in the 2019 election campaign. And I just want to, as I say, widen the bell sniff quota. Check a move.
Lee Anderson, your parliamentary candidate for the Conservative Party at the next general election. And what I'm about to say is my own personal opinion, nobody else's. I stood on this spot a few months ago, banging on about nuisance tenants throughout this lovely estate on Corsic and the fact they were making people's lives a complete misery. Now I've been banging on to the council, banging on to the police about getting these nuisances evicted. So hopefully over the next few days we might see something. Now people say to me, but they've got to live somewhere. That's right. So my plan would be, and again this is just my own personal opinion, is that these people who have to live somewhere, let's have them in a tent in the middle of a field, 6 o'clock every morning. Let's have them up, let's have them in the fields picking potatoes or any current seasonable vegetables, back in the tent, cold shower, lights out, 6 o'clock, it's the same the next day. That would be my solution.
Welcome to Nottinghamshire, says fascist Tenko camp. He's talking about having like work camps for...
That's exactly what he's talking about. Yeah.
He's also doing it to play up to his fucking Raj pals. Also in that campaign, he was caught belling one of his pals after that video, and he was like attracted like a press crew doing like a fake door knock, knocked on his door, and there was like the reporter was like, oh, what do you think of his comments? And he was like, made by the door was... Personally, I'd have them with a cat of nine tails. I would go much further than that. And then he was clamped. He'd rang him up and he didn't realize he was on a hot mic.
Oh.
And he was like, yeah, just make it look like you don't know us. Just make it look like you're not my friend. And he's like, yeah, all right, no worries. Right, cheers, me duck. See you later. And then that was it.
Jesus.
Absolutely out of control, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. But again, we see that on Question Time as well. How many times has this happened on Question Time when they've had the fake guest in who's like turned out to be fucking one of Boris Johnson's...
Oh, like so many times, hasn't it? Anyway, there's No Remorse White Pride guy again, just so everybody's seen it. Next. So anyway, this is from the Private Eye article. So another Labour MP has the whip removed for alleged racism. Tory MP Leah Anderson commented on Facebook after Rupert Hack was suspended for her remarks about Kwasi Kwarteng last month. Racism needs stamping out of all walks of life, he says. How's that going in his own walk of life in Nottinghamshire constituency of Ashfield? In local newspaper columns and on his Facebook page, Anderson regularly boasts of his close connection with the Skegby Scooter Club, and particularly by leading member Martin Fluke Dudley and Roy Stark. Special mention to Roy and Fluke, he wrote after a club event in June, praising them as top lads who make me proud of Ashfield. In August, he informed readers of The Chad, a local paper, last week I attended the Skegby Scooter Club's East Midlands Scooter Association night, where over 1,100 scooters were on 100 scooters were on display. It was an honour to join Fluke, Roy and all the scooter lads. What he never mentioned is that his old pal Fluke Dudley pictures a veteran far-right stalwart who wears T-shirts proclaiming no remorse, white pride, has an Odin's cross, a white power symbol tattooed on his leg to make sure everybody can see it. So it goes on. He was also wearing a black and yellow Fred Perry polo shirt, which obviously is associated with the Proud Boys. Last month, the MP and his beloved scooter lads jointly hosted a pub evening to raise money so that Jake Stark, son of Roy, could go to Italy to fight in a mixed martial arts championship. This is yet another example of the great things that people from Ashfield do, and it's something I am more than happy to support, Anderson wrote. Among the great things to be found on Roy Stark's Facebook page is a post consisting of the slogan, White Lives Matter. Perhaps Anderson is unaware of the attitude of his shaving-headed chums, or perhaps not. On Facebook in June, he posted a photo of Fluke in the white pride shirt alongside a few in the white pride shirt. A few of the members of the club, proper people with other with heart of gold who love their community, the MP wrote. I'm deeply humbled to represent you all. Honestly.
Represent you all, really.
Just especially the white people.
Yeah, no, when they're but the ones who are wearing the white, you know, the white pride T-shirts, they're it's not long before go, oh, you know, like, you know, I just think we're full and we shouldn't be taking as many, and quickly, literally, two pints later, devolves into eugenics, particularly when it comes to race mixing as well. They usually particularly despise that, which I was
somebody's got the Ouija board out in the back room trying to call in Goebbels. What should we say next time on GB News?
Yeah.
Just for the record, I've got like all of the stuff. I broke down the Private Eye article and I found all the material just to prove it. So Skegby Scooter Club and Leah Anderson MP, this is a fly, has a picture of him and he's what looks like an All Saints jumper there. Charity fundraiser, the Rifle Volunteer, which is obviously a pub. There you go, evidence. So further like examples of Leah Anderson, like just so we can get a full picture, you understand. This is from his Facebook post. He posts an article, Labour MP Dawn Butler accuses Met Police of racially profiling her. And Leah Anderson has captioned this. Don't you just get fed up with this nonsense? Now, some of the comments are here, right? I'll not bother with their names, but here's a selection. Policemen upset her because they didn't kneel before her. Playing race card, no need for her bad insults. You don't get this from other people being stopped. I think a lot of folks will feel the same. She was always ranting during the election processes. Yes, Lou, I'm fed up with it. All this BLM and racist stuff would completely disappear if only the black people would shut up about it. People believe that if black people shut up about racism, it just goes away.
Yeah, no, they do.
And dance all over again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just be over there, dance forward, and just say nothing. Fuck that. Who the hell do these people think they are, man? So anyway, the point of bringing all this stuff up is this, right? Here's another comment that I thought I'd highlight. Jackson AP, he's got obviously got a poppy in his profile picture. In the good old British Empire, she would be taken outside and shot. Pity we can't do that today. I can think of several people we could all do without. So Jackson AP on an MP's Facebook page is asking for another MP, or saying another MP should be taken outside and shot, just like the fucking good old days.
That's a completely normal thing to say, isn't it?
Having a right normal one there, isn't he?
Fucking hell.
So there's more fucking race card, this race card, that. But Mel Holland, It's because the Jewish Labour members, mainly in London, don't want to be equal. They want control, and you know what they can have it. A clear anti-Semitic comment, wouldn't you say?
Yes, very,
now,
very
you, you would think, like, you know, we've got public pages and whatever. Like, this is like, you know, it's just some blow-in. But no, shout to Alex Tiffin at Respect is Vital on Twitter, a good journalist. He's saying, for context, not just anyone can friendly Anderson MP on Facebook. He has to send a request himself. It's just because of the security controls. Therefore, he sent requests to the very people now being racist and has said nothing after 24 hours of racism and abuse, despite being on Facebook since. Alex Tiffin himself did this work and pulled this all together, so full credit to him. So that is interesting, isn't it? And the reason that I wanted to expand this is I wanted to make sure we had our ducks in a row, because obviously, as we've seen, he's not going about with this scooter club. And like, look, is it a rogue member within the scooter club? It sounds to me like, and he's quoted it, like, and I've got the quotes that the private eye found. He's quoted as like, they're his pals, they're this, they're the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
So he's not wriggling out of this one, is he? Fuck. But who'll hold him accountable?
I was going to say, because that's quite damning, really. It's, you know, because normally with a comment section, I'd say, you know, you can argue that, you know, anybody can, you know, pile in. And we do see different comment sections that might get dog piled by certain groups, depending on what the content is. But that one can't. That's not just anybody. That's obviously people he's kind of known and approved of. So, and it's not just one random comment as well. When you looked at that, it's one after the other, and they're all different names as well.
Quite. I've expanded it slightly on from Private Eye and Alex's work, right? And I've found something in the Jewish Chronicle. And the reason I'm pulling this up is Lee Anderson has no excuses, and here's why. So, two Conservative MPs received training on anti-Semitism. Exclusive, the MPs Sally Ann Hart and Lee Anderson confirmed they've attended sessions to give them a greater understanding of what constitutes anti-Jewish racism. And that's by Lee Hartman, who should, of course, be the journalist of the year because he's really good at journalism. It says, Mr. Anderson was an active member of Ashfield Backs Boris, a Facebook group where Soros conspiracy theories have been promoted and which includes supporters of the far-right activist Tommy Robinson and also people who really don't like Jewish people, it appears. He told the Jewish Chronicle, I apologize for being a member of the group that allegedly posted offensive remarks. I never saw any anti-Semitic comments and no one has ever provided any proof. However, I left the group once the allegations were made. After no evidence was provided to substantiate the claims made against me, the Conservative Party investigations concluded. I'm extremely happy with the robust way in which the Conservative Party handled the investigation, which highlighted to me they will not tolerate any forms of prejudice or discrimination. It goes on. Following the conclusion of the investigation, I asked for myself and staff members to voluntarily attend training, as I think it is imperative that we all take part in regular training to ensure we are fully aware of discrimination and prejudices that have no place in our society. Conservative spokesman said, Lee Hart Anderson and Sally Ann Hart have apologized and have been reminded that as MPs, they are expected to hold themselves to higher standards. Mr. Anderson and Ms. Hart have also both undertaken training. Dear God. So I've put that up because obviously, like, if he's confronted with this stuff, right? Like, journalists should be putting this out there, right? Because here's why. Anti-Semitism is a problem. We've been told it's a problem. And it's clearly a massive fucking problem given the whole Kanye West situation at the minute.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What the shit he's coming out with. You need to shut the fuck up. But however, Lee Anderson is in a hop, step, and a jump. He's not going to bout with the scooter club with the white pride people. He's got this background. He's just stood up saying, send them all back in Parliament this week. And then all of this other carry on here. And I haven't got it confirmed, but this is his fucking caravan. That's not his caravan, but, like, you know, it's just could be his caravan quite easily, couldn't it?
It could. It could. Yeah. No, when we've seen other MP, you know, particularly kind of allegations of anti-Semitism, you'd think that Westminster would be all over this, but have we really heard anything?
Nah. No, I mean, Westminster, where the fuck's Fleet Street? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, geez, man, like Fleet Street were all over the Corbyn's Labour Party. Like, where you now? Anti-Semitism hasn't gone away. Kanye West and Kyrie Irving in America is happening now. Now. Yeah. So it is important. Very. So let's fucking do something. You know what I mean? Get all over Lee Anderson. He's clearly got questions to answer and he's done the training. So he's got no excuses, has he?
Well, no. I guess what he needed to do is actually go and, you know, spend a festival with some Jewish people who the tabloid press deemed to be the wrong kind of Jews, because that's not anti-Semitic at all. The ones who had the anti-capitalist beetroot. It's like, oh, no, you shouldn't be hanging out with them. They're the wrong Jews. What? How is that an okay thing to say? No, it's not.
Wrongin', isn't it? Absolute wrongins. Weird. All wrongins. Wrongins from top to fucking bottom. Indeed. And he needs to be hauled over the absolute fucking coals from this. And as far as I've seen, like, because I've amalgamated a lot of different stuff from different bits of research, right? Like, this has been going on. It hasn't just happened. And he's standing up this week, right? Everything before, like we've presented, has happened before this week. And he's literally saying, send them all back. Like, he's to the right of the National Front at this point on many things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at what point can we call these people fascists? Like, when can it be done?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
The problem we've got, if you just give us 2 minutes, the fucking problem is you've got the Bannons and all of these fucking international ghoul crew, right? Who are just like trying to like change the meaning of words and language.
Yeah, I was about to say it's total doublespeak, isn't it?
Completely.
Yeah.
So this kind of connects into a lot of that. I'm fully, and I was asked this in 2015, do I think all of this is fascism or something else? And I think it is fascism, but it's like neo-fascism. I don't think there's a term for it yet that I've found, at least, that anybody's coined. We need a new one because there's an unholy alliance of a hell of a lot of fucking people here. And they're married together by ideology. No. It's kind of like the best way I can describe it is like a sort of transnational nationalism. So they have it's an affinity on a national, on an international level, but it's like very much nationalistic talk within those nations, but like this big affinity group around the globe sort of thing.
Yeah, you absolutely. Know? And they'll talk, you know, they'll always kind of bring it in. It's when we say dog whistles, you know, what we mean by that is just, you know, using certain buzzwords, which on the surface, they don't particularly sound like they're dodgy or hateful in any way. But you pick up and there's a subtext. And one that fascist groups and far right groups do a lot is policies about family. And family, and everybody loves family, don't they? And it's like, you can't be upset by things like that. But when you start picking it, then that's when you realise it, you know, it very, very much excludes, you know, gay or, you know, the gay community and the queer community. It might, if they're going to be really blatant about it, might start, you know, talking about race mixing and stuff like that as well. And that whole kind of like eugenics shit. And stuff like that. And that's what we mean by dog whistle, just in case, because I use that term quite a lot. And I appreciate not everybody might not know what I'm banging on about. And that's what it means. But that's what they do. You know, we always say if somebody turned around and said, you know, we're going to take every single one of your rights away as a human being. It's, you know, we're going to, you know, even capitalism, you know, say a very small percentage of the world are going to be really, really rich while most of you are going to struggle more and more throughout your life. You go, no, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. But it's never sold to you like that. And everything's, you know, and that's what fascism is. It markets these things to you. It markets these really fucking awful ideas, which are going to ultimately destroy you and your communities, but say they're going to make things better for you and yours by sorting out these other people who've been marketed to you as the enemy.
I mean, look at the sort of climate denialism, right? It intersects like a virtual perfect circle with these type of people and their beliefs. Mm-hmm. And we've seen quite a lot of it over the course of the pandemic. And it seems to have done is like delegitimize any kind of like opposition, because it's this whole, you're outside of the circle and you're a traitor. So we are traitors because we're anti-English. And it's the playbook that's happened since time immemorial, since there's been left and right wing, that the left are the ones to blame. Mm-hmm. Like these people are the traitors who can just basically get in the sea in the dinghies with all of these people that we also hate. That seems to be what it is, and it's an amalgamation of different strands of hate, and it's this, they're having their strings pulled from the top down. There's one of the things that I just wanted for the record to complete this piece, right? Leanne Stempain, this was when the whole Boris Johnson was coming back or not, right? Boris Johnson linking into the Bannon network. My choice, Boris Johnson just called me. That would have helped Anderson's ego. We've had a long chat about everything past and present. My inbox is full of bring back Boris. I'm drawing a line under it. Boris has my support. He writes really weird as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Also, the final thing. This is the very definition of being a cry bully. We've presented all of this information, which shows the type of people that he hangs about with. They're not, who knows? Is he a racist? I couldn't rightly say. Daily Mail, how the far left's vile hate drove me, a Nottingham Biner, from working for a Labour MP to stand as a Tory in the election, by Lee Anderson, Conservative candidate for Ashfield for the Daily Mail, 19th November 2019. This obviously fitting in at the time with all of this, like, the like keep the far left out narrative that was going on. Meanwhile, your man Anderson there had some anti-Semitism locked and loaded in his back pocket, just ready to go. But it's the left who are the anti-Semites now, apparently.
Fucking hell. The far
left. We live in a shithole. Well, an absolute fascist lie bag. Like, Bannon's whole crack is to throw enough shit into the fucking mix where people are just flooded with it and there's just nothing they can do. And if this isn't, like, this an aspect of the dystopia, I don't know what is. Like, people celebrate this fuckwit.
Mm-hmm. Now people, you can, I've watched so many politicians as well that would just, you know, completely do a U-turn on something and outwardly turn around on camera and talk about as if that's a viewpoint that they've always had. I remember Matt Hancock doing with it about Brexit. You know, going on about how, he's always supported Brexit and he was always better. And I was like, no, you weren't. I remember you being on the TV talking about how we should remain in the European Union. That's total bullshit. And obviously that's not even nearly as extreme as what Lee Anderson's like kind of been saying. But it's the same thing. It's like they get caught saying something and then they turn around and go, oh, no, I don't. No, I never said that. I've always believed this. And the more they repeat it, people just take it as gospel and they don't even challenge it anymore.
They do, because not everybody's got the time to keep up with this stuff and they can't be expected to remember what he's done. And that's where we come in. Because basically, like, we need more of this, not just us, but like more independent media, or just hopefully we'll just become the media over time, because I'm not seeing journalism like in the mainstream media. I haven't for a long time. You get the odd pockets of it. I mean, there's plenty of like this anti-Tory stuff in The Guardian now. It's safe for them to like do that, mm-hmm. because let's have it right, they absolutely were instrumental in there not being a Corbyn government.
Yeah, very much so.
So, like, I mean, like, they're all back to, like, I mean, like, another indication of this, Emily Maitlis, you know, ex-Newsnight, whatever she's on now, she quote tweeted a picture of Macron and Rishi Sunak in their sharp suits looking all rich and shit. And seriously, it was cringe. And she quote tweeted it like, oh, just feeling a bit emotional. It's all got a bit back to normal or something. And it's like, I for fucking who? Like, oh, you, it's all just vibes with them, you know what I mean? Once again, more vibes. Oh, it's just good vibes. Look at them in their nice suits and that, Macron. Like centrist women secretly fancy the arse off Macron, or sometimes not even secretly.
Yeah.
There was that whole dishy rishy thing as well, and it's just cringeworthy fucking bullshit. It's about how people look rather than what they do. Mm-hmm. So which part of like the evil that Rishi Sunak's unleashed on working class people are you comfortable with, Emily? That's what I mean. Fuck the media, man.
No, for real. Like,
apart from us and the others, but like the bad ones.
And then apart from apparently the one who got suspended for being gleeful, there's something that Boris wasn't coming back to. Apparently that was, you know, not unbiased at all. And then she got suspended. But like, yeah, that's fine.
Fuck them all. Listen, we've managed to get through a hell of a lot here, and would like to get some comments before the end, because there's loads, and thanks everybody for all the engagement, and we would have had you in more, but so much we wanted to cover. So what we got? Who we got? Michael Sheldon. Ding, ding, ding. Come on. Oh, fucking hell. Here we are. He's so right wing, he's halfway between the National Front and All Out War. What a belter. Boldy Knots is here. What we got? Oh, no, Steve Jackson, good work tonight, Mike and Alice. This level of crap should not go unnoticed. Cheers, Steve. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Boldy Knots, what's he got? Sally Ann Hart can fuck off and all the abhorrent fashion.
You've got such way with like swearing. As always.
Oh, we've got a spam bot in, sexfind.info. Don't click it, everybody. MTB Matty, I'd love a caravan, me.
Yeah.
Get you like the weed mobile. Get plenty in there. Was Morris to finish what off? It's called You Are Fascism as described by Umberto Eco. Nice one, the term. Right, we'll look into that. I was about to ask you if you've got a pen, Alice. I've moved all the stuff back up to this place because I thought it would stack in the back there.
Oh, amazing moment. Amazing.
It's all right. Guess what the brilliant thing is? This is being recorded. I've had a mare at the end there, haven't I? I'll look into that tomorrow when I'm having my research day.
I don't have a pen, unfortunately.
I wouldn't be able to get it off you, would I? Right, so thanks everybody for being here. And also thanks for all of your positivity and your contributions in the comments as well. Sorry we couldn't get through everybody's, but we're starting to see like the real growth to the next level, and more people are getting involved, and we love it, and it's brilliant, and it's fantastic, and it's super, super. What have I got for you at the end? Usual, patreon.com/cowdaily, patreon.com/cowdaily. Support the work of true journalism in the UK and hold fascists to account. Also, please share these things. I'm going to snip them up over the next couple of days, and we've designed them to be like smaller things as well. We're going to have thumbnails for them. Please share them and put it under people's faces. I'm loving the fact that people on Twitter, and I've seen it, they're tagging within it, and they're like if somebody's like the West Street and NHS one that was done the other week, people are like tagging people in who are like, yeah, the Tories are going to kill the NHS, support Labour, and they're like, have you seen this? Really love that, and thanks for doing that. And that's why we're making these as well. Like, let people know that you can't trust them. Please share those things, but not this stream. Anyway, thanks, Wolf. I'm not going to do this final thoughts thing because every time you're on the spot, you feel like you're awkwarded out by me going snarf what you got to say for us. So we'll not do it.
Yeah, and then I'll just babble and say something like, be nicer to your self-service checkout machines and don't
be kind.
Oh, God.
Be kind, everybody. If you can be anything, be kind. That's exactly the type of things people say, like Lee Anderson, while he's going off doing dirt.
Yeah, if I start coming out with vapid sound bites like that, just have me melted down into glue at the Naki Yard or something. It's just, there's no hope.
Big up everybody with love in their hearts at all times. Anybody else? Fuck you. I hope your next shite is a hedgehog. See you later, alligators. In a while, Peter Fryles. Bye.